And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The majority of the heavy lifting in the NHL offseason is now complete, so it's time to break it all down. The fantasy spin from a hectic last month is coming right up, brought to you by good friends over at Skip. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Elberga and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's going on, Nick? Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Great to catch up with you on the pod for the first time in a while. I know we crossed paths for a bit in Vegas. So much to get to in this show. Big congrats to the Florida Panthers on winning the Cup, but so many free agent signings, trades, and draft picks to digest here.
Pete, great to see you. It's a tremendous. Not one team congratulated the Florida Panthers at the draft, but you did so on this podcast. So looking forward to it. Off the bat here, guys, I came on this podcast same time last year. Who was the sexy pick? Who was the team we're all talking about, Pete? Let's do it, buddy. You let me know.
I'll start this off with one that we didn't expect. And I don't think since we last talked, did we talk about Utah, right? The Coyotes moving to Utah. I mean, I think that a huge move this offseason, maybe more valuable than any of the forwards, is Mikhail Sergachev going from the Tampa Bay Lightning to the Utah Hockey Club. That's what they're calling him right now. I think without the shadow of Victor Hedman, this guy has the chance to become a top 10 fantasy fixture in the defenseman rankings long term here.
Yeah, we were looking for that first blockbuster from Utah, and it happened, of course, on day two of the NHL draft. By the way, just a sidebar, the answer to my question last year, we talked about New Jersey. I'm going to be down again on the Nashville Predators. We're going to get to the Predators conversation coming up. But Utah, I think that Sergachev deal sort of came out of nowhere, and yes, we're going to talk a lot about the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't know if skeptical is the right word. But I think we've been waiting for sort of that breakout. And how many times did Sergachev get that opportunity in Tampa and it never came? So I'm going to tread carefully on Sergachev in Utah, Pete.
I get it. But two seasons ago, I mean, last year, right, the worst injury luck in the world with Tampa, and actually came back battled to make it for the last two playoff games. So the guy's got a crazy, you know, adversity, battling through that type of stuff last year. But 2 years ago, he actually took over power play one from Hedman. I know you've always been a Hedman guy, Nick, yeah. But I think like the shackles are off a little bit, and you have a lot of forward talent out there in Utah, right? With Clayton Keller, Nick Schmaltz, and yeah, Gunther, and Josh Doan, right? All these different guys like are high-end players, and maybe this is the thing that tilts the scale and like helps their potential get realized after the change from Arizona to Utah.
Any way you slice it, Pete, I'm really enamored. I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see Utah coming up in the fall. You're right. I think from a power play standpoint, I want to see who runs PP1. Is it going to be Sergachev? Is it going to be Sean Durzi fresh off the extension? I thought so-so for Sean Durzi last year. I think we both expected a bit more. And you're right. So many youngsters on that roster. Can they take that next step? And speaking of which, Pete, I think leadoff on the show has to be the Nashville Predators. Coming out of nowhere, so many rumors surrounding that team heading into the postseason. And then they come out of nowhere to get Stamkos, they get Marchessault, they get Shea. Pretty decent job by Barry Trotz.
Petey completely disregarded my show notes that I sent late last night as I was going through this. I don't know how Utah starts off the show. And quite honestly, if it wasn't July, I would have stopped you guys from recording. But yes, Nashville was atop the show rundown, Petey. So why don't we go to Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Barry Trotz guy through and through, whether he's the coach or the GM or the president or whatever you want to call him, the owner, you know, quasi-owner of the team, going back to Nashville, doing a great job there. Nashville was one of my most disappointing teams of the postseason. They couldn't beat a third stringer, guys, right? So, like, this is their direction. They're avoiding the rebuild. I think after what went down in the postseason, you could have gone towards somewhat of a rebuild or retool, but they're choosing to go all in and getting the likes of Stamkos and Marchessault. I mean, those are like major moves. We love Marchessault on this show.
Yeah. No, you're right. And the top six looks a lot different. My only concern, it's a pretty damn big concern, to be quite honest. They got Ryan O'Reilly and your boy Tommy Novak up the middle. The projection, Forsberg, ROR, Nyquist, Stamkos, Novak, Marchessault. I think first and foremost, when you look at Stamkos, this is going to be difficult. I think there's going to be a bit of a ripple effect from how everything played out with Tampa, the only team he knew, a legend there, is going to get a statue there, going to get retired there. And no more Kucherov, no more Point. How do you feel about Stamkos first and foremost?
Yeah, he's fringe top 50 in fantasy for me. I'm not like jumping all over him and calling him a must-have player. I think he does decline at least a little bit in fantasy value moving off that top power play in Tampa and joining a crowded mix in Nashville, right? That top line last year, Philip Forsberg was the sixth leading goal scorer in the entire NHL. Now they add Stamkos, who also had 40, and Marchessault had 42. So a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right, Nick, as you always like to preach and, you know, proceed with caution type of thing. I think Nashville's Stanley Cup window is a little bit open again, but I do not consider them a top five cup contender after these moves. I'm waiting to see what the first couple of months hold for this team.
Pete, I won't lie. I'm stunned. I came on this podcast ready to play defense like Team USA is going to in the Olympics of men's basketball, and you're bringing it, man. I agree. They're this summer's New Jersey. We're going to be hot and heavy over the Predators. I feel for my guy Gustav Nyquist, by the way. He's going to get pinched big time. Had 23 goals, 75 points last year. I think he's a perfect sell-high candidate right now with Nashville. And you know, everything with Saros too, like everything just seems too good for the Nashville Predators. And I think people are now looking around that division, that conference in general. It's the old conversation too about being the hunted as opposed to the hunter, Pete. Now that Nashville is a team that everybody is going to get up for, how are they going to respond? And I still think they're kind of weak up the middle, to be fair.
Right, and they're still not the top team or anywhere close to it in their own division, right? I'd probably still take Colorado over them, even if Nichushkin's going to miss a chunk of the season. I would definitely take Dallas over them from that central division. The one thing riding in their favor is, like, they have the elite talent at every position. They re-upped UC Saros. I think he's a big teammate beneficiary, as is Hedman, of some of the off-season activity around the league involving these couple of players, Stamkos and Gensel, et cetera. And they have Roman Josi, who's still at the top of his game. Forsberg's unreal. They have the forward depth, and they have the championship pedigree. Certainly, Ryan O'Reilly lifted the cup in 2019 with the Blues. Marchessault lifted it in last season with Vegas.
I think they're better. I think it's important to temper expectations, though. I know they added some star power. They added a bunch of offense guys who have won before. But let's not forget, a year ago, Pete, I was saying that Nashville was going to be a bottom five team in this league, and they proved me wrong at least. So I think somewhere in between, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think it's going to be a bit harder than people project and expect with the Nashville Predators. But they're 1A to me. 1B has to be the Tampa Bay Lightning in terms of the wheeling and dealing, the unexpected twists and turns. I never saw a pathway where Steven Stamkos leaves. So first and foremost, Gensel and McDonough or Stamkos and Sergachev, P. What side would you grab right now?
Probably Stamkos and Sergachev. I know they're not on the same team anymore, but I do think this is going to negatively impact the group in Tampa that we've so accustomed to knowing as being, you know, a dominant force in fantasy. Kucherov's still a top 3 to 5 pick, in my opinion. His value is not going to change. I think a really interesting debate, Nick, want to hear your take. Would you rather have Jake Gensel or Steven Stamkos after the changes in scenery? I would personally rather have Gensel, whether he plays up top with Kucherov and Point or on the second line with Cirelli and still going to be on that first power play with Hedman and the like.
Simple answer for me, Jake Gensel. This guy's a proven goal scorer. I actually like the fit in Carolina. It's unfortunate he's not going to stay with the Canes long term, but you're right. It's just so groovy there. That's a garden seat waiting to happen. He's going to get so many great passes from Kucherov, Hedman, Braden Point. Again, with Stamkos, my fear is that he's just known one organization for a long period of time, and I just think the transition is going to be initially difficult. And on top of that, there isn't the depth up the middle. There's star power there, but not quite to the level of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, Pete, it's a simple answer for me. It's Jake Gensel. I like the fit. Whether they elect to go with those big three in the, on the top line with Point and Kucherov or spread the wealth, I think Gensel, like, that he understood the assignment. I think he's going to be a great pairing with John Cooper as well, and he can just chill and relax in Tampa too.
It's going to be a great debate. I'm sure we're going to make some twists and turns, and some of our guests in the coming season preview episodes might differ on whether they like Nashville or Tampa more, you know, moving forward. But like one team in the East that is just, I feel like they're getting overblown here. They're definitely improved, but the New Jersey Devils, right? They got Jacob Markstrom since we last talked. I mean, they've made other improvements. They got Brett Pesce on D, so their top four on defense looks stacked. They should make the playoffs. But I saw on Bet365, and shout out to them for sponsoring us all season on the Action Network collab, I saw they are tied with Florida as the second Stanley Cup favorite behind only Edmonton. That seems a little overblown to me. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think the Devils are a much improved team. I think they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. In fact, if you were to pull me right now, my winner for the Jack Adams will be Sheldon Keefe. But there's just too much money coming in New Jersey. I still think there's some flaws. You don't know what's going to happen with Dougie Hamilton coming back from injury. The crease is so volatile everywhere in this league. Just because you have Markstrom and Allen, it's another thing to go out there and prove it. I think they're young on the back end, too, that people are not talking about as well. And they got a coach that has really never won in the playoffs in Sheldon Keefe. I like that fit. I like that move. But he's a regular season coach. I think they're going to be much more improved. But I want to piggyback off that because I thought you put up a really good question on Instagram via NHL Fantasy. Which offseason mover are you most likely to target in drafts? You had Gensel there. You had Stamkos, Sergachev, Marchessault, and Markstrom. Pete, I'm going to go with Markstrom. To a degree, I agree with you. I think regular season fantasy-wise, I think Markstrom's going to be a gem this season. I just think the Devils are really, really good.
No, I see it. I think that even though you can say maybe he's the third best goalie in his division behind Shesterkin and Sorokin, or maybe behind Freddie Anderson if you like him, I've moved off him a little bit after that disappointing postseason, and Carolina has not gotten any better this offseason. But yeah, if I were to answer that question based on ADP and where I expect these guys to go, am I allowed to say Jeff Skinner going to Edmonton?
No.
I mean, after the contract buyout, I mean, that guy was, what, 2 years ago playing with Tage Thompson and a point-per-game player, and he's been up there in the goal scoring before. He's going to have the chip on his shoulder. Edmonton's trying to get over the hump. Between Skinner and Victor Arvidsson, I like Skinner better to stick on that top line or second line with McDavid or Draisaitl, so I might go with Jeff Skinner there.
I'm happy you brought up Edmonton. I want to get to that team. I couldn't agree more. I think both those files in fantasy, I know Arvidsson's coming off an injury, but are going to be boosted big time. They're going to be within that top six. And this is as good as you can rebound if you're Edmonton, Bobby, after losing in Game 7 of the Cup Final.
I'm just waiting for you to start talking about Adam Henrique, your guy. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't bring him up. You know, he came and did a little sign for a discount. I mean, I know you love Henrique there, Nikki.
Yeah, Rico now on the third line, so I don't know if the value is going to be there. But I know we're going to have a complete episode dedicated, I believe, Pete, to sleepers. But there's a bunch of names I want to throw out there. I like that you brought up Skinner off the buyout. Just get him out of Buffalo. Never say never, but the Sabres have missed the playoffs 13 straight seasons. Skinner's never played a playoff game. Knock on wood, he should. Okay, all I'm going to say is he should. With the Oilers. So we like Arvidsson. We like Skinner. Some other names, Pete, I would throw out there in terms of value buys in fantasy hockey, post offseason movement. Oliver Ekman-Larsson could run the first power play unit for the Maple Leafs. If you do recall at the end with Florida, he was on PP1. Ilya Samsonov with Vegas. I think there's actually a bit of value there coupled with Aiden Hill. Sean Monahan. I know you're going to bring up Monahan's name at some point in time. Back with Johnny Gaudreau in Columbus. Anthony DeClaire with the Islanders. Jake DeBrusk with Vancouver. Gustav Forsling's got the keys to the car, I think, to run PP1 with Florida. Eric Gustafson, Shane Gosper, some other names. Anybody catch your eye there, Pete?
I like Elias Lindholm if he's the number one center for Boston on the line with David Pastrnak and or Brad Marchand. Either way, it's a big uptick for him. He was good in the playoffs after the trade to Vancouver. He's had a lot of pressure of, you know, speculation of him being traded. He's changed a couple of teams, but I like him settling in Boston for the long term and reunites with his former teammate Nikita Zadorov. Those are big moves for Boston, I think. And they traded away Linus Ullmark. They had to. I also wanted to mention, as a teammate beneficiary, I really like Jeremy Swayman this season. The Bruins are near automatic in the playoffs, and I think he's like not only a top five goalie now, I think he might be like two or three on the list, really high on Swayman.
I like that you brought him up. I am as well. You know who's got sneaky value, in my opinion? Jonas Korpisalo, who they got in that deal for Linus Ullmark. If there's one thing, Pete, we've learned about the Boston Bruins in, say, the last decade, they love the tandem. I think Swayman's going to be the number one, but I think Korpisalo is going to play way more than people think. I know he's got an odorous contract, similar to the smell and stench of Bob Bender on a hard summer's day doing the yard. But I'm telling you, there's going to be value to be found there, and I think I'm going to be that guy who takes Corpusalo as my third or fourth string netminder, and I think he's going to be outstanding. Pretty good joke for mid-July, Bobby.
Oh, my God. You could smell my stench through the computer, right? You see me? I was out there working the yard early this morning. Working the land, Bobby. We say, Petey. Working the land, Petey.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, there's some big goalie moves, I think. Yeah. You know, definitely the LA Kings, too, getting Kemper. I feel like that's a sleeper. The Kings usually make the playoffs. They're making something out of nothing, right, last year, like they did for more than half of a season with Cam Talbot, making him an all-star. So I feel like Kemper gets revitalized. Maybe not as good or nearly as good as he was in Colorado, but he had some good years in the desert with Arizona. I think he bounces back next year and returns value based on where he's going in fantasy, Darcy Kemper.
Well, he better. People are going to lose their jobs in Los Angeles. I'll say that. The thing going against them is that I think Vancouver's excellent. Mm-hmm. I think Edmonton's excellent. There's some other teams, not only in that division, but that conference that have improved. And I think you look at LA, they subtracted speed and they added a lot of fortitude, I don't know, like a physical nature to them. I think the biggest bonus, they got rid of the contract of Pierre-Luc Dubois, just not working there clearly. But I think it's fair to wonder about Kemper. Like, they got Kemper, Riddick, and Copley in between the pipes. And maybe that's a bit of an upgrade after last year, what transpired. I think you and I came on this podcast and we're like, really? You're going with Cam Talbot and Copley and Riddick, and I feel like they've taken a step in the right direction, but I do think LA is not a serious contender right now, and it's more so about the other teams in the division, Pete.
No, that's fair. I mean, everybody got better. Anaheim got better. They're going to have Cutter Gauthier there, a crazy forward depth in the prospect pool for them, and even the Sharks, like, they were the worst team in the league by far last year, but add in Macklin Celebrini, add in Tyler Toffoli, add in last year's fourth pick, Will Smith, who I think is going to be a difference maker for them in the short and long term. Add in Jake Walman, who's going from the third defenseman in Detroit to probably PP1 in San Jose. So, like, that team's still going to be bad for a few more years, but they're going to be a lot more feisty and difficult to play against with this young talent, right, Nick?
You're being very nice. They're going to be terrible. I have no idea what San Jose is doing. I really don't. Toffoli, I get it. He chased the bag. He chased the money. You want to play with kids. But he signed, sealed, and delivered the fact that he's not winning a Stanley Cup again, Pete. Like, it's not like San Jose in 2 years from now is going to win a cup. And maybe Toffoli gets another contract after this. But I just want fantasy relevancy. I think you're right. Like, this time last year, we talked about Mario Ferraro running the first power play unit. I think Jake Walman's got a big opportunity. And I don't know about you, I was stunned Detroit traded Walman. Like, we know he's a great dancer. You need dancers on your team, right? He loves the gritty.
Yeah, and again, I still expect this team to lose a lot of games, you know, three quarters of their games or whatever you say.
More competitive. But
yeah, they're going to be a lot more fun to watch, as Chicago was last year. And they were literally, like, down to the bare bones. Right, they had some injuries. Chicago, they had even Bedard got injured. They were still a lot more fun to watch, and they took a lot of teams by surprise. I think that San Jose might be better than Chicago was this past year, for what it's worth. It's still not saying too much, but they're on the up and up.
It's a gutsy call, Pete. You talk about Connor Bedard. We loved him. We still love him on this podcast. The producer, Bob, we're going to talk about him. You talk about teams, like, is it a rebuild? Is it a retool? How long is it going to take? But they brought in some vets. We can say that about Chicago. Tyler Bertuzzi's in there. Tara Vinen's in there. They got some guys, you know, Patty Maroon's in there. They got TJ Brody. I think the biggest question out of the fantasy spin of all this, Pete, is who's going to play with Connor Bedard? You can't forget Taylor Hall's still on that team too, right?
Right. I think it's going to be a combination. Probably it seemed like Kurashev was a real nice fixture on his line when everybody was healthy. You know, they add the number two pick in the draft. He signed his entry-level contract. They still have Seth Jones. I would expect it to probably be Tyler Bertuzzi and Philip Kurashev. And then, you know, if Taylor Hall comes back at some point, maybe he could get worked into the mix. I'm not too high on Tara Vinen going from a much better team in Carolina to his old stomping grounds in Chicago. That team is drastically different than it was when he used to play for the Blackhawks.
That's an understatement. I'm just not going to reach on Tyler Bertuzzi, even if the attachment is there to Connor Bedard. Don't forget, they tried him with Austin Matthews. They tried him with John Tavares. It really took a while for Tyler Bertuzzi to find his game, and I just don't know how it translates to fantasy right now. I think he's like a sleeper look, but I wouldn't reach on Tyler Bertuzzi. Just to shore up the crease as well, because there's been a lot of activity. We talked about Allmark going to the Ottawa Senators. Maybe quickly get your opinion on that in mere moments. But Wohl and Stolarz is going to be the tandem with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've got Markstrom and Allen with New Jersey. Kemper, Riddick, Copley with L.A. Lindgren and Thompson now with the Washington Capitals. And Hill and Samsonov. Anything stick out there?
Yeah, Vegas is starting to go on the bargain bin hunting. Yeah. And they also got Akira Schmid. Nice sleeper for them, though. I like getting Alexander Holtz. I'm not sure why New Jersey cut the cord on him. They were avoiding trading him left and right, and then all of a sudden gave him up for very little. So look out for Alexander Holtz, especially after some of these guys left Vegas. Chandler Stephenson went to Seattle, right? We talked about Marchessault going to Nashville. And I think Holtz could maybe land on the top line with Jack Eichel for the long term. That would be a nice sidekick seat.
I'm always careful to pin teams as losers. But guys, I have a bunch of teams where I'm a bit stunned at their lack of activity. Buffalo among them, 13 straight seasons and counting without making the playoffs. They buy out Skinner. I guess Jason Zucker and Ryan McLeod are their big ads. Ottawa, like, I like the Linus Allmark pickup, Pete, but I really can't sit here and say Ottawa's that much better. I just don't know how much confidence I have in them, and I think Allmark's fantasy value is going to take a big time hit there.
Yeah, I think that with Lindy Ruff going back to Buffalo, you might disagree with the coaching hire. I think it's going to have a positive impact on some of these guys on the ice and get them closer to making the playoffs. But all those other teams continue to make additions and changes, right? Detroit kept Kane and got Tarasenko and got Talbot in net. And then they also, another weird one for Buffalo, they got James Reimer. So what are they, like, keeping Levi in the AHL or something? Yeah. I don't understand that. And I really don't understand. You know, I usually try to look on the bright side with Buffalo. But why would you trade Matthew Savoy after a remarkable season in juniors for virtually nothing to the Oilers? I mean, I hope he plays for the Oilers this year and maybe is a part of getting that team over the hump this year. That is an absolute steal by Edmonton, even without a GM right now.
If it makes the entire hockey world shake their head, then I think you're in deep. And I think certainly my winners list, I have Nashville, Edmonton, New Jersey. Again, it's important to stress you don't win anything on the first day of free agency, but I think these teams have positioned themselves to be successful next season. Adding to my list, I think you're so right. I just don't know the direction of the Buffalo Sabres. That's been par for the course for the last 15 years. Even Carolina, Pete, a team we've both been really, really high on, Anna as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've improved. I think they're probably the same, but you lose Shea, Gensel, Nason, Pesci, Teravainen. I'm not crazy about the crease in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They sort of plateaued. Hell, they even lost their GM.
Yeah, really some strange changes going on in Carolina. Most of the core is still intact. I guess they're going to just try to run it back and not make anything drastic. But I disagree with some of their changes, to put it lightly. And now, yeah, you mentioned Don Waddell is off to Columbus. That's a bit of a downgrade for him. Sure. A lot of falling out after they lost to the Rangers in the second round. I don't think they should have lost that series. I don't think they played well in the big moments. They made a lot of mistakes. So, yeah, I'm down on Carolina for sure.
Is Columbus going to hire a coach? Like, I'm still waiting on that front. But you're right. Pittsburgh's another team. Like, you brought in Kevin Hayes, who, by my read, is now getting paid by four different teams. Riley Smith now with the New York Rangers. I just question the direction of Pittsburgh. I get it with Crosby there. And the other team I had circled was Winnipeg. I mean, you lose Bones. Monahan's gone. Toffoli's gone. They tried on Henrique. Didn't get him. Dylan's gone. Laurent Brossoit's gone. Eric Cott. Like, they have like three goalies who keep circling back to Winnipeg. Brossoit's been there like eight times. Comrie's back now to back up Hellebuck. I just wonder if they take a step back, a small step back. You have Hellebuck coming off of Conn Smythe, but Vlad Namestnikov, Pete, is their number two C right now.
Yeah, I worry about Winnipeg maybe dropping out of the playoffs. We'll see. Hellebuck will have him on his back like he always does, but it may not be enough. Some career inconsistencies with that player. Congrats on his second Vezina. There's been a lot of fluctuation in between with him. And then also Washington, like all these moves they're making, Jacob Chychrun, Logan Thompson, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Andrew Mangiapane, all in separate deals. Did they get better? Yes. Are they going to make the playoffs this year? I don't think so, and I don't even know. I'll never know for the rest of my life how they made it last year. So I guess they're just bulking up for the Ovechkin goal chase, and then they'll figure out, pick up the pieces after that. But some strange moves going on in D.C. for sure. And they have a new GM too, Chris Patrick, and McClellan moved up. They won their cup. They're making some changes here, and we'll see how it boils down.
Well, that's exactly it. I think there's a lot of risk with some of the activity they put together. Mangiapane coming off a down year, PLD taking on that contract could be like a job killer, although the GM just got promoted there. They bring in Brandon Duhaime, I thought was underrated. The Chikrin pickup for what they gave up, I like the deal. They brought in Matt Roy. They got Logan Thompson. Mm-hmm. I think Washington deserves a lot of credit for understanding the opportunity with Alex Ovechkin there, maybe squeezing out a couple more playoff runs, whereas like Pittsburgh, middling. Like I think you could make a good, safe, sound argument, and Washington was a team that made the playoffs last year. They actually set themselves further apart now from Pittsburgh than even they were at the end of last year. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I think Pittsburgh's secondary guys, like, it's pretty thin right now. Like, yeah. You could talk about how Michael Bunting had 19 points in 21 games after the trade. Not particularly high on the player from certainly his time in Carolina. Was a big step back from his time up top with Matthews in Toronto, as you know. So, yeah, Rickard Rakell, hot or cold, usually pretty good for fantasy category coverage. But these are not players that I'm drafting or touching. I'm not even touching probably EK65 and Letang anymore unless it's in the late rounds. The goaltending is a mess with Jari and Nedeljkovic. Nedeljkovic was better than Jari last year. It's like almost other than Crosby and Malkin, you're not really touching the rest of that team right now because they don't have Gensel anymore.
And I think it's a tough job. Like, I don't want to slag on Kyle Dubas and company too much. I think it's a tough job when you're trying to compete and you know you shouldn't be trying to compete, but you have Sidney Crosby, you have Malkin, you have Letang, but they're such a middling team right now, Pete, where I just don't see a pathway where the Pittsburgh Penguins are making the Stanley Cup playoffs. Another team I wanted to ask you about was the Seattle Kraken. Amongst the teams where I was sort of mystified as to the activity, it felt like they made a couple moves just for the sake of making moves. You bring in Brandon Montour, which I thought was a bit of a redundant move with Vince Dunn there. I know he's a righty, but he's coming off a cup. You had to pay him too. And another guy coming off a cup last year in Chandler Stephenson, I guess, to be your number two center, because I think Beniers is the 1C there.
Right. It's another team that, like, who am I touching on that team? I'm not really touching the goaltending. You know, Grubauer is still there, and Decord was good, but he fell off late in the season. They now have two top-tier defensemen, but I think they're going to work against each other like we've seen with that situation through the years. Whether one takes away power play time from the other or they play together up there, usually it doesn't work out. And Vince Dunn was tied with McCann for their most points per game last season. So his production was as good as anybody's on the team. And I'm still not touching him because Montour came into the building. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about Seattle. Again, on paper, they got better. They're another team in the Pacific that got better. But I'm just not sold on them making the playoffs. And I'm certainly not sold on them for fantasy high draft picks.
And shout out to my boy Danny Bylsma back in the NHL, now the head coach of the Seattle Kraken. But you're right. They got McCann. They got Beniers, Eberle, Schwartz, Stevenson, Burakovsky. Credit to Stevenson's agent, by the way. I think he's better suited to be like a third-line center. I know he's a flex guy. He can play up and down your lineup. But the matchup game is going to be fascinating for me, especially coming off the mega contract here in Seattle. I think what actually hurt the Kraken, Pete, was being successful early, because I think they're headed in the opposite direction now, sadly.
No, it's true. And what, Utah's playing in the Central, right, like Arizona was? So is that's what's going down, I think?
Yeah.
I haven't checked, but I think that would probably make sense. So, yeah, they kind of get out of that logjam a little bit. Again, I think, like, Utah could probably contend for a wild card spot. Guys, yeah. Even when I was talking them up off the top, right, like, I didn't mention Logan Cooley. I didn't mention Tiege Iginla, who could join the top six forward group. Of course, Jerome Iginla's son down the road. So it wasn't just the Sergachev move that I like. I like the Marino to boost the top four. And then I like some of these other young studs for Utah. So I would kind of go with Utah over any of those, you know, bottom teams, middle teams in the Pacific Division even.
Yeah, they've taken some steps. And I always say teams make their biggest mistakes at or around July 1. And I think that's going to be evident again. We got that infamous year, what was it, like a decade ago, where just every contract was bought out. And I don't think it's going to get to that level. I like some of the plays, but also some of the guys who went this year. Teams jumped and didn't have to jump. I want to talk quickly about some players that dropped in value a bit from all the movement. Guys necessarily who signed contracts. Chandler Stephenson, I think, dipped a bit. I think Brandon Montour, too, just the cup hangover and who runs the first power play unit there. I think we both agreed Steven Stamkos, while he's not going to fall off the face of the earth, I don't know if he's going to be the same Stamkos in Nashville, considering he's losing some of those big boys. Tyler Toffoli, it's only fair at least to start initially, Pete, with playing in San Jose. Yaroslav Askarov, we all expected him to be a full-time NHLer next year. I don't think it's going to happen, at least to start, although the position is so volatile. We will see him. Linus Allmark's another name I would throw out there. I would just be weary of drafting these guys initially.
Right, and Allmark could help that Ottawa team if he stands on his head like he did years ago in Buffalo. But, I mean, individually, last year was a big step back. There's probably going to be another step back coming, going from a steady defensive team like the Bruins to an absolute, right, like abyss some nights in Ottawa. So that's going to be tough. I like the pick that Ottawa made at the draft. Yakemchuk scored like 30 goals last season in the WHL. So he'll be coming to join that young group with Sanderson and Shabbat and guys like that down the road. But I'm not sold on Ottawa to make the playoffs either, even with getting an upgrade in net.
The Atlantic to me is really fascinating because obviously you have the team that wins the cup in Florida. Have they really improved? I like some of their bargain buys. I think they're probably the same team, if not a bit worse. Tampa, you can make the argument they're a bit worse. I think the Leafs are pretty much the same. They got the core guys coming back. They're going to be awesome in the regular season. Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine in the playoffs. Buffalo, I think, is probably worse. They lose Skinner. Like, they didn't really do much. Montreal, maybe one free agency because they did nothing. They're just going to progress with their youngsters. But I sat there really, really stunned, and we talked about this earlier on with Detroit, Jake Walman. Like, we all felt like that was a domino to something bigger, and that domino didn't happen. So I ask you this, like, is it fair to question the Iser plan? Like, they have four goaltenders. They got Lyon, they got Husso, they got Talbot, they got Campbell. The top six at the Brinkett, Larkin, Raymond, Tarasenko, Comfort, Kane. If you were to read that out maybe 10 years ago, I'd say it was really good.
Well, Nick, a lot of people forget because they missed the playoffs. Like, Detroit was ahead of schedule for most of the season last year, as was the Philadelphia Flyers, and we didn't get to talk about them. I'm sure we'll get in on Matvei Michkov and his projection when we get to our keeper and rookie episode later in the summer. But, like, it's interesting when teams like that, like, Detroit did get better by getting Tarasenko, and Cam Talbot has been a higher upper goalie at different points in his career. So, like, it's not terrible moves. I would still trust to some extent the Iser plan. And I would also say that they're probably more likely than, I know we debate this every summer, they're more likely than Ottawa or Buffalo to make the playoffs this upcoming season, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's important to stress too. I know we wanted to hop in and just give everybody a bit of a greeting, a bit of a check-in here in the offseason. There's plenty of offseason runway ahead, right? Just because we're making these proclamations here doesn't mean something bold and crazy can't happen later on this summer too, right?
Right. Maybe a little Mitch Marner action that unlikely, still hasn't been settled up there in your neck of the woods. But yeah, it's interesting. There's also like Leon Draisaitl, right? Like entering his contract year. I think they're going to run it back with him, but it's still a storyline. Even though Cap Friendly is not here anymore, we're looking at those contract years as we always do.
Even Martin Natchez is another name to monitor. If you guys recall a month ago, his name was the hottest one in the trade market. Still hasn't gone. So again, we wanted to check in, see how everybody was doing. I think Bobby Boy wants to go back to the beach here. So good job, Pete. Good job.
Yeah, great to catch up with you guys. And yeah, I'm sure we'll do a Keepers episode, a mock draft 1.0 as we get, you know, deeper into the summer and into the month of August and the projections. We'll have some great guests on for you as well. So really looking forward to the offseason. And this is that way too early 2024-25 season preview.
Way too early. And really, I want to send the message to my guy Stan at Tree 41 on X, all right? He was bothering me and Petey while I was in Vegas on the slot machines. He wanted an episode like from Vegas on the draft. So, Stan, you might be the only listener right now in July listening to this. But remember, we did it for you, Stan, at Tree 41, Nick. Huh?
Shout out to Stan. Shout out to producer Bob for Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.